He said he innocently happened upon the crime scene and just made some bad decisions, like cleaning off his bloody feet in the victim's own shower. But the best man in his wedding said he'd confessed to stabbing someone 19 times. This is the story of Brian Cole, the Tennessee father of three who was convicted by genetic genealogy more than 30 years after a murder. Hi friends, I'm Katie, and this is Katie Does Crime. Thank you for joining me for the first time if you're new here, and hello to the usual rapscallions and reprobates. Please consider subscribing or joining me on Patreon if you'd like to hear more true crime stories. In 1990, Larry Joe Breen was a petty officer and cook in the U.S. Navy. Born on September 5, 1958, he was now stationed aboard the guided missile cruiser USS Fox, where he cooked for the captain. In a 1988 Santa Maria Times article about the ship, Larry said, "Everything I serve to the captain is a work of art. I studied sculpture and have an eye for arranging. I've got one of the better jobs on the ship." His talents spoke for themselves, and he was soon to become the chef at Camp David in the hills of Maryland. At this private retreat for the federal government, Larry would be cooking for President George Bush himself. But on May 25th, Larry was found in the backyard of his new single-story rental home on Nimitz Boulevard and Locust Street in Point Loma, a neighborhood of San Diego. Some call Point Loma where California began because it's where conquistadors first landed on what would become the U.S.'s West Coast when the Spanish crown sent them to explore the New World. Larry hadn't officially even moved into his new rental yet when his body was discovered at around 11:45 a.m. He was leaned against a fence in the yard, nude, stabbed in the jugular vein in a pool of blood. The Arlington, Texas native was only 31 years old. Larry's home was so freshly off the market that the "for rent" sign was still in the window. A man who was out looking for a rental home with his girlfriend was the one who peered into the backyard and found the body. He called 911 from a local grocery store. Officers on the scene found blinds hanging out of a broken window, and they thought the deceased man probably came out of that window, either by being pushed or in running away from something. Blood was everywhere outside and inside the so far unfurnished studio, all over the walls and on the carpet and on the backyard fence. It looked like a major brawl had occurred. Later, the prosecutor would say that Larry Breen left his story behind on those walls. Larry had to be taken to the medical examiner's office and all of the blood, grass, and dirt washed off before a fellow sailor could identify the body. In the meantime, the authorities collected beer bottles, clothing, hair, and bloody footprints from the house, but there were no obvious suspects. Larry's brand new gray Toyota Camry was missing and was found a mile away later on, but it didn't seem to hold any clues. Neighbors said they hadn't heard a thing that night, even when that plate glass window shattered. Investigators could never locate the murder weapon, so there just wasn't much to go on. The case went cold for 11 years. Both of Larry's parents passed away while awaiting justice, and his siblings said the lack of closure had affected everyone. In 2001, the evidence from the rental home was sent to a lab for DNA extraction in the hope that advances in the technology would turn up something. A beer bottle, a blood stain, and a host of other items led to new DNA samples. But despite the new information to work with, there was no match in any police database. In 2010, the San Diego County Crime Stoppers issued a new call for information from the public. It was the 20th anniversary of Larry Breen's death, and they offered $1,000 for any sort of lead. Someone knew something, and they just needed that one tip that would open the floodgates. But nothing panned out. Almost another decade would go by. But in 2019, with all of the excitement around genetic genealogy, San Diego's Cold Homicide and Research Genealogy Effort, or CHARGE, was added again. They tried once more to get a match, this time using the commercial DNA databases. And through family members' profiles, they found their man, or at least a really good suspect, one who had been stationed in San Diego at the Coronado Naval Base at the time of Larry's death. Now he was living in Knoxville, Tennessee, and he was a fan of the fast food chain Arby's. When he threw away his Arby's cup one day, the Naval Criminal Investigative Service moved in. More than 32 years after Navy Petty Officer Larry Breen's death, 51-year-old husband and father of three, Brian Scott Cole, was arrested in July 2022 and charged with murder.
A suspect from a 32-year-old murder case in California is now in custody after the suspect was found along Kingston Pike in Farragut. Officials with the San Diego County District Attorney's Office say Brian Scott Cole is charged in the 1990 murder of Navy officer Joe Breen. Breen was found slumped against a fence with multiple stab wounds in his neck. The DA's office says the case went unsolved for decades until the Navy partnered with the San Diego Police Department to reopen the investigation.
He had been interviewed about Larry's death before in the 1990s and denied knowing anything. But while being questioned now in 2022, Cole said that sure, investigators probably had found his DNA all over Larry's apartment because he actually was there the night before the murder. He said he and four other people had been there drinking with Larry. Then he completely innocently borrowed Larry's car to get home, and only when he came back the next day with the car did he see the horrific crime scene. He cut his arm on the glass of the broken window, such a klutz, and oopsie, he got blood all over his feet while walking around the crime scene, you know, as you do. So he had to wash his feet off in the shower of the man who was deceased and sitting a few feet away in the backyard, which is a completely normal thing to do, come on. And then to cap off this carnival of excuses, Cole said he got back in Larry's car and drove off and abandoned it because he thought it would look bad to be driving a dead man's vehicle. With Cole under suspicion, a friend of his, the best man in his wedding actually, called the police and said, hey, he actually confessed to me back in 1992 that he stabbed a guy who came onto him 19 times, and I've called the authorities about this two other times. This guy had kept the secret for years until he told his wife about it, and his wife made him call the cops. But the best man had reported the confession in Ohio, where he and Cole were from, and by the time he made those two calls, he couldn't remember where the murder occurred exactly. He thought it might have been San Francisco. So the information never made it to the San Diego police. In August 2022, Cole was extradited to San Diego. Despite having no prior record, he was held without bail, which is probably fair for someone who had escaped justice for 30 years. In October 2023, Cole went on trial on a not guilty plea. All of the DNA evidence from Larry's apartment did indeed tie him to the murder, but Cole's lawyers said he had a reason. He was 19 at the time, a naive small-town boy from Ohio in the Navy, and he was attacked and had to defend himself. Cole took the stand on October 13th and said that back in 1990, he was a new recruit in the Navy, an E-1. That means he was enlisted at pay grade 1, as low as it gets in the Navy ranks. Larry was an E-5, a petty officer second class, so it was kind of a big deal when he wanted to spend time with the E-1, like a senior in high school suddenly befriending a freshman out of the blue. Cole didn't know anyone, so having Larry take him to La Jolla Beach and the Horton Plaza shopping mall for dinner felt great. And Cole said that although he has no problem with gay people, he never suspected that Larry might be gay because there was just zero tolerance for it in the Navy at the time. Like, you simply must not be gay because you cannot be gay. So after a night of drinking, Cole said it was a total shock when he woke up to find himself naked with an equally naked Larry performing a sexual act on him. He said he angrily pushed Larry off, but when he tried to stand up, Larry would push him down, tackle him. After several attempts at this, he saw the knife in Larry's hand and felt his life was in danger. Cole said he stabbed Larry to save himself. Larry went outside through the window and Cole followed him to deliver one last blow. Cole said on the stand, his eyes were so big, so animalistic, the sound he made, if you could imagine the widest eyes possible. He was fighting like a wounded animal. He was constantly reaching for the knife. I remember the final stab, that last stab, he quit attacking me. He went to the ground. Cole's defense team said Larry liked young men and saw Cole as this conquest he could groom. But the thing is that Cole was a wrestler for 6 years in high school and college, by no means someone who couldn't defend himself. Was the jury really supposed to believe that he wasn't able to escape a tackle? And is it weird that Cole couldn't describe the knife and has no idea where it went after he stabbed Larry? There's also the problem of Cole's DNA being found inside Larry's socks, t-shirt, and pants waistband. Kind of strange if he just woke up naked with no prior contact. And oh yeah, Cole's underwear with his name stenciled onto it was found inside Larry's Navy locker. And it didn't look great that Cole's story kept changing. One time he said he innocently stumbled upon the crime scene the next day, while on the stand he said he was there in the home that night wielding the knife. Cole's now wife of 26 years testified that she knows him as a peacemaker, someone who's against bullying and violence. His family was actually surprised when he enlisted in the armed forces at all. Cole's wife said that she doesn't find it weird that he never told her about the incident because it was traumatic and he blocked it out. A clinical psychologist said that after 12 hours of interviews, Cole appeared to be truthful but couldn't remember many of the details of the crime. The prosecutor pointed out that Cole never called the incident an assault before the trial and never reported it as such, although, of course, assaults often go unreported for many reasons. I imagine shame would have been at play here in a major way, especially in 1990 and in the military. The best man from Cole's wedding, the one who said Cole confessed to him, testified at a preliminary hearing in March 2023 and said that it came up one night while they were drinking. Cole told him a little came on to him and he stabbed him 19 times. The friend described Cole as homophobic. The jury took more than 2 days to come back with a verdict, and it wasn't a clean-cut one. They couldn't come to a unanimous vote on first-degree murder, so the judge instructed them to consider second-degree murder or voluntary manslaughter if they wished. They found him guilty of second-degree murder and use of a deadly weapon. Cole said to the judge, "I'm extremely distraught for the loss of Larry Breen's life. There's not a day that I've not thought about it, and it's haunted me. I've lived an honest life. I love my family, my friends, and I've served my country with great pride and honor. Please look at all the good I've done and still want to do in imposing your sentence." Cole was sentenced to 16 years to life in prison, the max for this charge. He turned and looked at his crying wife for several minutes before he was ordered to face the judge. Cole's lawyer said, "I'm shocked. I think it was a pretty clear self-defense case. My client's a good guy. He has no record. I think he testified truthfully." But the DA in the case said, "The defendant was lucky. He had 33 years living as a free man. The Breen family have waited 33 years for justice." Brian Scott Cole is being housed in Wasco State Prison in California and will be eligible for parole in May 2033. I'm thankful to the U.S. Department of Justice for the grant that allowed San Diego County to continue pursuing this case, and to those who didn't let Larry Joe Breen be forgotten. My feeling is that we can never 100% know what happened that night between Larry and Brian, but Brian's own best man testifying that he was homophobic does a lot of the heavy lifting for me. Thank you for tuning into my podcast episode. I'm just a true crime fan like you are, and I really appreciate you taking a chance on me. Please subscribe and tell a friend if you like spending this time together. You can also find me on YouTube in the flesh by searching Katie Does Crime.